Matthew chapter 15. Many of these stories that we go through now in Matthew are very familiar. When we went through the Gospel of John is unique. 95-97%, according to some, is unique to the Gospel of John. Matthew, there's overlap throughout the Gospels. And I love when the Bible gives us the same story, just a little bit different angle. Let's read Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28 this morning. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, a Gentile, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 7. Mark 7 gives us just a little additional information, but I think it's kind of critical information. Mark chapter 7, verse 24, the very same account as we just read in Matthew 15. I'm not going to read the whole account. I'm just going to really read probably just the first three verses. And from thence, Mark chapter 7, verse 24, and from thence he, Jesus, arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. That's one of the things I wanted you to notice. It didn't tell us that back in Matthew. But Jesus went over into Tyre and Sidon, and he was on a secret mission. The Bible didn't tell us what he was doing, but he went into a house, and he didn't want anybody to know it, but that was kind of hard for Jesus at this stage to go anywhere without being known. And it says, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. It's important that I think she's at his feet when these two statements happen in Matthew. And then verse 26, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now turn back to Matthew. That's what we'll be for the rest of our time. But interesting story here. And in one perspective, it may appear that Jesus is a little rough, right? A little rough with how he, but I want you to always remember this. Don't worry about your perspective. Jesus never sinned. Jesus couldn't sin. Jesus couldn't come close to sinning. His handling of this woman was perfect. Was the absolute right thing, so always remember that. Now, Tyre and Sidon, you'll hear that Jesus will compare Tyre and Sidon. He'll tell them later in Matthew. He'll say, woe to you, Chorazin, Capernaum. If the works that were done in your land were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. Now, Tyre and Sidon is about a day's journey from where Jesus was in Capernaum, in Nazareth, in that area. And so, but it's northwest. It's northwest would be where the country of Lebanon is today. And so Tyre and Sidon were critical areas that it was like a seaport. And so it was really a different environment that Jesus was normally in. Jesus was normally in an environment with agriculture, with shepherds, with farmers, and he always used, you know, stories that would have, you know, sowing of seed and sheep and shepherds. But this was a seaport, and he goes there, and so it would have been vastly different. There would have been shipyards, buildings, and it was a completely different environment than he was used to. But let's just, it's very fascinating. But it was a Gentile city. A Gentile city. So Jesus went there for some purpose. The Bible doesn't tell us. But he went to one house and he wanted to be secret. Let's just look at Jesus in this. He wanted to visit secretly. Now this is interesting. He was busy. Are you busy? My poor wife. Is my wife in here? She got there. I said, she's so little, I can't tell where she's at. And so then it tempers me. When she's in the nursery, I feel a lot more free. But my wife, you gotta love this, right? So I have felt no stress for the holidays. And I felt bad for her. She said, I think I'm stressed. She goes, I think I'm getting acid reflux. She goes, I woke up at 3 in the morning. I couldn't go back to sleep. I'm just all worked up with everything I got to do. And so, you know, she's busy, right? She's busy. And then she's also very easily distracted, right? So, and she wants to do things. If Deb does something, she wants to do it right. So she's busy. So she was getting some things out of the shelf in the basement. And we had some carpenter ants earlier this summer. And I cleaned it up like a guy would. Sufficient, but it wasn't, and so she just started. So now she has to clean every shelf down there. I'm like, I don't know if this is the time to do that, but don't go there. And so, but it is the time. It is the time, right? And so now the shelves are clean that nobody will see. But man, they're clean. I'm asleep all night, just make it real light. But she's busy. She's busy. She is every place you go shopping. It's busy. I mean, I had to bring my van home the other day, and getting that van home was kind of like a lot of risk because it really doesn't have brakes, and so but you know it has brakes good enough, right? But it's like I have to get really, and so man, it was super crowded on the roads, and I'm just like, if only you all knew. And but it's busy. You're busy. I want you to understand this. Jesus was busy. You've got plans. Jesus had plans. Now clearly he's God. He's omniscient. He knows all things. But I want you to understand this. Never, never get too busy to see an opportunity to honor the Lord. And so Jesus, he goes and he had this intent. And you and I have your plans. Have your plans, but always be willing to be interrupted. And so I want you to see this. While busy, he didn't send the woman away. Now the apostles, you would think they might have learned at the feeding of the 5,000. Remember, what was it they told Jesus to do with the multitude at the feeding of the 5,000? Send them away. Wrong answer. And so we feel that way sometimes with people in our lives. God brings people in our lives. It's just not the right time. You don't understand. I'm busy. You don't understand. I got things to do. Oh, I'll tell you, I do this too. We've got to be careful. There are times in life we have to say no. I'm not saying there's not times in life we have to say no. That's not what I'm preaching this morning. But I want to be so tender, so sensitive, that I don't respond like the apostles said, just get away, get out. Jesus didn't send her away. And so he planned on going there secretly. He wanted to go to this one house. I don't know what his intent was. But he went to that house, and of course, everybody knew who it was, but this woman comes, and he didn't send her away. Then I want you to know this. He spoke bluntly with her. I don't know what the right word is. When I say bluntly, I can say directly. He didn't sin. I just want to make sure that. Don't suggest that. But he did it twice. And now, look back at Matthew 15. I want you to see this. Matthew 15. Because in my own mind, you look at this. Just look at verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. And I'm sure she's yelling it. She is desperate. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Jesus ignored her. Then his disciples jump in. And they have this bad advice. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. Now look at verse 24. But he answered and said, now, there's some debate, but see, I think, going back to Mark 7, where it said she was at his feet, I think this answer was both to the apostles and to her. Look at this first response. He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now let me explain. I've talked about this before. What this is the Lord and his ministry. During his earthly ministry, it was focused on the Jews. I want you to understand, he was brilliant in that focus. It was successful in that focus. And you and I, as Gentiles, we're all Gentiles here. Do we have anyone that claims Jewish lineage in this room today? We get Jim's got a little bit. And so we, but it's this, where we're primarily like 99.9% Gentiles. And praise the Lord that we are in what the Bible calls the times of the Gentiles. And do you know why we still have the truth of God's word? You know why we have the same gospel that Jesus preached? Is because Jesus is planned and he did. He chose 12 men specially, and one of them was a devil. So 11 men that were successful of preserving the gospel, all under God. And today, Jesus' plan to bring the truth to the Jews first. They had the oracles of God. They had 2,000 years of history. And he said, that's how I'm going to reach the Gentiles. That's how I'm going to reach Jeff Williams 2,000 years later. Is Jewish people that were faithful, that were honorable, and every single person in this room that you claim Jesus Christ. He said, I am not come, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then look at verse 25. She then came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She didn't let that get in her way. And then he answered her and says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Do you understand? He called her or likened her to a dog. And particularly at this time, you know, we kind of celebrate dogs, right? Like, dogs are awesome. Historically, it wasn't, you wouldn't want to be, dogs were never considered a good thing, right? And so, but it's, he said, it's not good. So what's Jesus doing? What is he doing? I didn't put this in my notes, and so I'm telling you, I see this. I want you to look back at John chapter 2. John chapter 2. I'm going to make this statement. I believe this woman was a believer in Jesus. I'll try to prove that a little bit later. But I also think when Jesus does something, it's for our benefit. It's for his glory, and we will benefit from it. Why did people generally come to Jesus? Was it because they wanted to give up their lives? They wanted to give up control, and they said, whatever you want, Jesus, I'll take up my cross and follow you. Is that the primary reason that people came to Jesus? It wasn't. John 6, many left him just after he had a difficult conversation. Look at John chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he, Jesus, John chapter 2, verse 23, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commend himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. I'll tell you, many followed him for the miracles, but they didn't believe in him as the God-man, Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look at verse 26, John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. I think one of the things Jesus was doing was for this woman. I want to ask you the question. Why are you interested in Jesus? Is it for what he can do for you? Or I will tell you this, is it because of who he is? You see, we struggle with that, don't we? I struggle with that as a Christian. I want Jesus to make my life better, and he will, but my life also may be harder. You see, that's the difficulty. I know this. As a believer, I am going to suffer for the cause of Christ. but my life will be better, but not the way I would define better. Right? God's plan may be for me that I suffer with cancer so that I can honor and glorify Him. And I will tell you this, if I do His will, my eternity will be better. But I don't want cancer. How many of you say, oh, I'd love cancer for the glory of God? Raise your hand. We don't get to vote on that, do we? So I want to tell you, we struggle with this, but I really want to tell you, my concern is most people that go to church, they go to church for what Jesus can do for them. And if Jesus doesn't do what they want Him to do for them, then they either just become a fixture in a chair and useless for the kingdom of God, or you won't see them over time because Jesus didn't do what they thought He should do. I believe what Jesus is doing was He was making sure that this woman understood who He was and why she should seek Him. I don't think Jesus has a problem with you seeking Him for physical ailments. I don't think Jesus has a problem with you seeking for healing, and I don't think he wants to hear from us. But is that all that we want Jesus for, is the genie in the bottle? And so Jesus, I believe, He was dealing with this woman, and He was making sure that her purpose, her focus was Him. Secondly, I think He was also teaching the disciples another lesson. You understand this. The apostles, we use that word, the apostles, the 12 that were here. He was teaching them because, understand this, the apostles were prejudiced against anybody that wasn't a Jew. Right? Remember, the Jews and the apostles kind of thought, wow, man, Jesus is really, really merciful here, as he would reach different people, the woman at the well, the demoniac from Gadara. But it really wasn't Jesus' primary ministry during His 3-year public ministry to reach Gentiles. His focus was the Jews. And so in some ways, if they watched Him, it would support their prejudice. Now, I'm telling you, it's always wrong. You understand this? It's always wrong, but I think He's also teaching the apostles, send her away. She's irritating us, and she's a Greek. She's a Gentile, Lord. Get rid of this dog. And I'm telling you, they probably went, when Jesus says, it's not meet to take the bread from the children's table and give it to dogs, they were like, tell them, Jesus. I think He has a lot to teach them, and He ultimately did. Aren't you glad that they got over their prejudice? Aren't you glad that they took the gospel to Gentiles? I am. I'm telling you this, any prejudice is wrong, and He was teaching them that. Third thing I think is this. I really believe he was strengthening a soldier. And I guess the right word would be a soldierette, since she's a woman. But I'm telling you this, Jesus will test us, not to sin, but He will try us. He will refine us. He will take us through difficulties to strengthen us. And I'm telling you, I will tell you, I'm just guessing. I would have left Jesus angry. Would you have hung in there? Would you have done what this woman did? Or would you have said, you aren't the person that I thought you were? How dare you call me a dog? But He was strengthening her. You know what He was teaching her? Humility. And then He did. He said, great is thy faith. I believe this, that Jesus, not only did He not sin in this, but I believe it was in the best interest of this woman. Yeah. And I believe this is so fascinating. This is one of these, and the rest of the stories when we get to heaven. Steve, it wouldn't surprise me that this woman turned Tyre inside and upside down as much as one woman can. The woman at the well, in Sychar. The whole city went out, and so many believed. It looks like the whole city. We'll find out. We'll find out the impact that this woman had. But I don't think she was just satisfied with the fact that her daughter was healed. Let's look at the woman now. And so I want you to not forget this. Because sometimes I worry about my preaching. I guess I worry about it a lot. But I never want you to forget this. Your focus, Clay, your focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to Him, learning about Him, and then with that submission, serving Him, right? It needs to be focused on Christ. So never forget that. My preaching, I'm bent on this, but I don't want you to lose the focus. I'm bent on, so what? What do we do? So I'm always analyzing what I can learn from people that I think were successful. And if you ask me, this is a successful woman. This is a woman that I want to be more like. This is a woman that I think I can learn much from, but I want you to understand this. I just want to learn from her, but it never is absent from the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following me? I never want you to forget that. You can do, and you can do, but if you don't have your eyes set on Christ, I think you missed it. Never forget that. But let's see with this woman. I think she demonstrated just a few things. She demonstrated great understanding. She knew some things. She knew the credentials of Jesus. I want you to look there. Look at, if you will, from verse 22. This is a Gentile woman, but she had done her homework. Look at verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." You see that? "Have mercy on me, O Lord." I think she understood as much as you can understand the deity of Christ, right? How many of you are still challenged by the Trinity? Okay, and those that didn't raise your hand, help me afterwards. I understand it as much as it's declared in the Bible, but I'm telling you, I don't know what that looks like practically. I just know this, there is one God in three persons. And she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Oh, wow. Why did that matter? Because remember Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for they speak of me." It looks like she had done a little investigation to say this. I wonder if this is the real Messiah, because there would be a lot of false messiahs for all the reasons that you can imagine. Power, fame, money, glory, all the things that would come, because Jesus had the fame now. Fame for the wrong reason. They wanted free fish and chips and they wanted free health care. But this woman said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." You do. You are the one. You are from the line of David. She knew the credentials of Jesus. So she had some understanding. She knew she needed mercy. Look at verse 22. She says, "Have mercy on me." It's been a while, but I just want to remember this. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. Grace, getting what we don't deserve. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. Grace, getting what we don't deserve. This woman said, "Have mercy on me." Remember this. She didn't want her daughter to die. She didn't want her daughter to be vexed with this evil spirit. She had seen the outcome. She had seen the torture. She had seen the horror of having her daughter possessed by unclean spirits. But she also knew this. I don't deserve you to do anything. If you help my daughter, it's mercy. That's a different spirit than America has. And if we're not careful, that we as Christians have as well, an entitlement mentality that you owe me. We have to be careful. We have to be careful that in Christmas time, right? How many people work in retail here? Yeah, Steve, how many others work in retail? Okay. Not for long, maybe? Not for long. What a switch. So if you work in retail, worst time of the year, everybody's busy. And you know, and if your computer doesn't work, it's your fault, right? And Steve works at Duluth Trading, right? And so Duluth Trading is like, what the number one thing he says they sell is, they get upset about underwear. And I'm like, take it easy, right? It's not that important. But man, they get all up in arms, right? Oh, Christian, let us not have that mentality that we deserve. I want to tell you this. When goodness comes into our life, it's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. This woman showed great understanding. She was very needy, but she knew if God was going to help her, it'd be for mercy. It'd be for mercy. She knew his credentials. She knew who he was. And then she also knew this. Jesus had proven himself. You see, I want you to remember this. I think we don't rehearse how good God's been in our lives. When we get upset, it's because we forget how good God's been. I'm telling you, you and I would love to see your list. I'll buy your lunch, everybody here. And if it's a lady, my wife will come. I want to hear your list. I want to hear your list, Clay. I want you to tell me how good God's been to you, and I want them to be line items, and I want to hear the stories behind them, and free lunch on me. I'm buying the waters. And so, Deanna, I want the same. Then Deb will join us, right? Or you two can come together, right? And I'll buy one, get one free special or something. But it is, I want to hear your stories. Justin, I want to hear your stories. I want you to remember that Jesus has proven himself to you. I want you to write them down. Now, you're younger than me, so my list ought to be a lot longer. But I want you to begin that list. I want you to tell your children and your grandchildren. Darlene, I want to see your list. I want you to praise the Lord, because it's not that you deserve it. It'd be mercy. You just ought to put mercy all over it. But do you remember how good God's been? Because if you forget how good God's been, you know what you'll start doing? Whining and complaining. But here's what she did. She came to Jesus going, you know what? You're the real deal. Time and time again, people came to you and you healed them. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I'm telling you, I am going to put this together. I talk about it. I'm going to do it, you know, because Ellie's coming to town then. And I'm probably a little early. She probably can't understand it. But I might start telling her anyway. You know, we read to them when they were in the womb, right? And so, I don't know what that did, but we did anyway. And I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to tell them about how good he's been. And I want to make sure they understand this. Oh, I didn't deserve it. I'll tell you, if he gave me what I deserved, none of this would happen. If he gave me what I deserved, I would be in hell today. But I want you to know this. You know why she could come to Jesus with confidence? Because he had proven himself, and she knew it. See, Jesus has proven himself to every single one of you in this room. Amen. And I'm telling you, some of you have stories how hard your life has been. And it humbles me because my life hasn't been that hard. And so I want to tell you, you've had challenges. But don't ignore how good Jesus has been. I beg you, write down that list. Your children should know the list. Your grandchildren should know the list. And I'll tell you this, we would be blessed. I will tell you, our ladies, I wish I could have been there. Our ladies were able to hear Jumana's testimony on Friday night. Said there wasn't a dry eye and I love that, right? It's this. Jumana, you've had hard things. Hard things. But oh, God's still good. Understand this. It just because you want to serve the Lord doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But I'll tell you this. If you want to serve the Lord, you better not forget how good he's been. You know, we're learning that, Stephen, or we're reminded about it. You know, the stones that they put up. You know why they put those stones up? Because we easily forget. We are bent to backsliding, it says, right? In the scriptures. Is that in Hosea? I think it's in Hosea that says that. I think it is. And so, if not, it's in it's close. But we tend to forget. We tend to forget. We tend to forget. Because you know what? I need something right now. She came to Jesus. She had great understanding. She said, he is the Lord. I don't deserve this. I need mercy. And he's the only one that can fix it. I want you to understand this. God's the only one that can fix your life. God's the only one that can change you. God's the only one that can truly help you eternally. You can try all day long. You can try harder and harder and harder and harder. But you need the Lord, and so do I. He's proven himself. Have you forgotten? I mean that with all my heart. I would love to hear your stories. And then you know what I want? I want you to figure out how you share a testimony with somebody. You see, that's part of your testimony. I want you to have a testimony where you say, you know, God has been good to me. I'd love to take you out to lunch. I want to tell you how good God's been to me, and I don't deserve any of it. But you know what I want to do? I want to acknowledge to God how good he's been, and I want to make sure I rehearse this in my mind so when life turns upside down, I won't forget how good he's been, and I know that whatever he's doing will ultimately be for his glory and my good. He's proven himself. Are you aware of it? Are you conscious of it? You see, I preach this point with great nervousness. I've never had difficulty. I've never had difficulty. So Abby calls me last night, and I worry when I don't need to worry, right? But when you're aware of things, you worry. She goes, she's driving up north. She's working in St. Mary's. She's a traveling nurse, and it's so good. Her next contract, I love this. She said, I won't work for you unless you give me up Sundays off. I love the change. And they said, nope, can't do it. And she said, I'm not coming. They said, okay, we'll do it. And I love it. She might not have gotten the contract. She didn't care. But she got the contract. She could have gone somewhere else. But they said, no, we'll let you off on Sundays. She called me. She said, whoa, it's snowing a lot here. And she goes, there's a crack. There's a crack. Two more cracks. There's a crack. You know what all of a sudden I did? I started getting nervous. I probably should have prayed. And I was like, text me when you get home. And I don't know where she's been the last 30 days, right? But now that I'm back at home, text me when you get home. And she's like, okay. And how about I want to let you know this. God's proven himself. I want to be faithful. I want to do what's right. And part of it is if I remember how good he's been. I want you to see this. She showed great understanding. You know what I wanted to do? I left one off for space. That she worshiped him. She worshiped him. I want you to see this. Look at verse 25. You should put this underneath the understanding. Look at verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Again, she calls him Lord. I want you to understand this. He says, this is right after she said, the Lord says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There's several things that she worshiped him. She worshiped him when Jesus didn't respond the way she wanted. She worshiped him when Jesus responded in a way that you're like, are you for real? And so she worshiped him. She gave him word. She worshiped him. And I want you to understand this. What I love about her is she was tenacious too. And there's a lesson to be learned. It's clearly in the scriptures. God may rebuff you and say, not yet. And you may think it's no. Go to him again. Go to him again. Go to him again. And until you feel moved by the Lord to let it go, go to him again. Don't stop praying for your loved ones. Don't stop pursuing them. Don't stop until God says, stop. This woman said, I love my daughter so much, I'm willing to be a pain to you. And she kept going to him. She kept going to him. You know, there's a delicate balance. Jesus, I think, was teaching her much. It is, it's interesting. I've got to be careful how I preach this thought. But it's, too many times, people will rebuff us in the Lord. Okay? We try to, we try to talk about the Lord and they just blow us off. We ask them to have a Bible study and they blow us off. And we quit. I'm just telling you, there's a time that maybe we need to jolt him a little bit. I don't think this is the norm for Jesus. This isn't the norm of Jesus' response, right? Is it? It's not. It's very okay because when Jesus does it, it's absolutely okay. But I want to challenge you with this. There may be a time where you deal with people directly and he dealt with her directly. I'm going to give you an example. Nassim was telling me about this. He was wanting to, was it a banker friend?
CPA.
CPA that does some work for him. And so he got the courage and he goes, I need to talk to him about the Lord. And so he says, ever since he's known him, he thought he was a Muslim, right? And so he walks into his office. And he sees a Bible in this guy's office. And he just says, what is a Bible doing in your office? Great question. Let the guy tell you. And you can ask Maxine, because I always butcher stories, but I think about it. But I'm trying to tell the truth. I just got this morning. And so he tells Maxine, he goes, well, I used to be a Hindu, but now I'm a Christian. And so, you know, he doesn't know anything. And so he goes to Crossroads Church. And so that helps a lot with your understanding. And so what I love is Naseem said, you know what? Do you know much about the Bible? And he said, I don't. And Naseem said, I'd like to teach you. I'd like to have a Bible study. And it's clear after he had more conversation, this guy's lost. But he's in America now, so he's kind of like, you know, Hinduism was so empty to him. He said, well, I'll just adopt this religion, kind of in the same mindset. I want to be a good person, and so this seems to be like the way of good people in America. And so that's what I want. I'm a Christian. You know, just a label, but he's not saved. And so this guy looks at him and goes, I'm just too busy, Naseem, I can't do it. And Naseem goes, tell me what you said. Tell me the words you said.
I said, we're not too busy for the Lord.
Amen. And so you know what this guy rebuffed him? He said, we're not too busy for the Lord. This is important. You need to do this. And he agreed with me. Now you might get rebuffed again. I just want to tell you there's a place for a little directness. I don't think that ought to be our main mode of operation. It ought not to be. But I want to tell you this. You seek the Lord's face with where you need holy boldness. I'm not asking for meanness. But I'm telling you, there are souls at stake and eternities at stake. And they're going to die and split hell wide open. Ask God for wisdom. Love needs to be the umbrella over everything. And Jesus was very loving to this woman. But I'll tell you this, he was very direct to her, and he got exactly the response that he wanted. I beg you to do that. It is Jacob's boss. And I don't know if he's a right, you know, God blesses him, right? Jacob's boss looked at me. I've told you the story, Mark. Mark looked at me one day, and I go, why haven't you surrendered your life and truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I need to learn more. And I said, no, you don't. I said, you're not in awe of Jesus Christ, and you're willing to walk out this door because Jesus is interested, but I can go one more day without him. I don't know, but it's very direct. And I love Mark. I think I've told you this. Mark is like, he takes notes. I got to go back and say, what did you write down? This guy is a jerk. So I don't know what he wrote down, but he wrote it down. And then God saved him 1 week later. This ought not to be your main approach. But I'll tell you this, I don't want you to forget, you're dealing with eternity here. I think we walk away too quickly. I think we give up too easily. What I love is Jesus said, this woman needs a little healthy dose of reality. And I'm telling you, it's a little shocking, but you know one thing she had humility. Do you love her humility? Somebody calls me a dog, I'm out of here. And that might be the best thing because I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to walk away. But when Jesus said this, I mean, look at this. He says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. He was saying this, I've come for the house of Israel. That's my focus. I'm not going to get diverted and suddenly take the bread I want to give to Israel because that's my focus and then give it to dogs. You Gentiles. Gentile dogs. She gave us a heartbeat. She said truth, Lord. You know, I worry. I think about all kinds of things. I think about the candlelight service. And you know, it's going to come out on the candlelight service that none of us are going to. And I'm probably not going to use the word pukes and that kind of stuff like I did other times. But so that was a collective amen for this group, I think. Is to say, yeah, Pastor, don't do that. But we are nothing. You see, I want you to understand this. I'm still nothing. But I'm everything in Christ. Oh, what humility will do. Yay, Lord. Yay, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. James 4:6 said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth more grace unto the humble. You know what it's going to take for us to really see the power of God is great humility. It's not about me. It's not about you. And it's great humility. But the 1-2 punch is great humility. and great faith. We've seen this. I've been talking to you about this. We're going to see this as a theme continuing in Matthew. What keeps us from great things is our belief. Faith is an important word. The Bible says that. But what is faith? Faith is belief. And a lack of faith is unbelief. Do we truly believe that God will use you? 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 Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is interested in using you in a great and mighty way that will be for all eternity something you'll be thrilled? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is ready, desirous, and willing to use you in a great way? You see, we struggle with that, don't we? Because we get humility and faith mixed up. Here's what we say. Well, Pastor, God will never use me. You know, I'm just not that talented. You see, we confuse humility with unbelief. You see, that's not humility. That's unbelief. Whoever the least talented person is in this room this morning, you are the greatest candidate to be used greatly of God. Won't you listen to that again? Whoever is the least talented person in this room this morning, you have the least talents, you're the weirdest person, you are socially odd, you are just the person that everybody goes, hey, wow, look at that person. You are the greatest candidate to be used of God because nobody will give you credit for anything that happens. And God's interested in you. See, I want you to know this. God is interested in himself being glorified. And remember this. It's not narcissism. It's because when he's glorified, we all benefit. You see, it's that God, when he is high and lifted up, this church will benefit when Jesus is high and lifted up. Our nation will benefit when Jesus is high and lifted up. When Jesus is glorified in the position that he should be glorified, then we benefit. But we have to work, not to do it for our benefit, but to do it for his glory, his honor, and his praise. I want to tell you, yes, God can use you. Humility is just saying this. I don't deserve him to use me, but I believe he will. We don't deserve it. She knew who she was. She said, yes, I'm a Gentile dog, but can I at least partake of your glory? And he said, you better believe you can. Great is your faith. You see, humility says, I am not worthy. But I'm a child of the King. And whatever I have is yours. And it's going to be a daily battle. It's a daily battle to be convinced that God will use you. To be convinced that God can use you for great things. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. I'll just tell you this. How about this? How about just reaching one soul for Jesus Christ? How about just aching for that one soul? How about maybe just making one more phone call? How about, I'm just telling you this. You can't mess it up. I've been bugging more people lately. And you know what? Because if I don't have them, I'm thinking, how bad can it get? I already don't have them. And so when people don't respond to my text, I show up at the door. And you know what I found? Many times they didn't respond to my text because some other reason, but I made it about me. You know why I stopped? I made it about me, Jeff. And it ain't about me, is it? You know what? I'm okay even if they're mad at me. I need to pursue them. Because Jeff, if I don't, what's their destiny? Hell. I want you to understand this. I want to be just like this woman. I'll tell you, she knew who Jesus was. She knew she needed mercy. She knew Christ had proven himself. She worshipped him before he answered her request. Isn't that good? You are worthy whether or not. She humbled herself. And she had great faith. I want to ask you this. Do you think she would have been a stronger believer after this encounter, Stephen? After this encounter, Seth? Or before? Which one? Before or after? Which one? She'd be stronger. It'd be after, I think. And it surely looks rough. I'm not saying you and I should deal with people this way. I'm not good at this. But I'll tell you this. When Jesus deals with you that way, you feel a little rebuffed. You feel a little put out. Be encouraged. Jesus doesn't rebuff. Jesus doesn't confront. Jesus isn't blunt just because he can. Mm-mm. When he does that for us, it's for his glory and our good. Be encouraged. Are you going through spiritual battles? Be encouraged. Now get back up and let's fight the battle again. Are you going through difficult times? Be encouraged. God's just not trifling with you. He cares for you, and he desires that you come out stronger. And we need to help one another. We need to encourage one another. Not make light of it. Life is hard, and life is busy, is it not? Never get too busy to serve and honor Christ.
Amen.
I want to tell you, go back and read this story and learn from this woman. Oh, if I wanted Jesus as badly as she did, my life would be different. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll exalt your Son. That, Father, I don't want us to be church people in the sense that our Christian life is defined about going to church.